Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Young Main, 35 riders. Let's go.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from nothing. Now I'm shining on the sun. Life is nuts.
Why? Sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Main, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking, that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Came from nothing, now I'm shining in the sun. Life is nuts,
that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why. Back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Main's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young Main can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining.
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle. Legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own.
Yo, 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 welcome listeners and lifers to the Cut on Global 14 Radio, live and direct to you every Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, Onyx, and on the line with me every week, the co-host, Golden Fleece. What's good, Golden?
Yo, yo, what's the deal, lifers, audience? What's happening with y'all, man? Another Wednesday, kicking it with the fam. Global 14, you know how we do, you know what I'm saying, G14 Radio. It's another Wednesday. It's another hump day.
Alrighty. Getting halfway, almost there, right? If this is your first time checking in with us, G14 Radio is the only station via the brand Global14.com, which is the social networking site of Jermaine Dupri. If you aren't familiar with it by now, you definitely need to head over there and create yourself an account today. We do the news, exclusive music releases, parties, blogs, and events. A lot of networking tools for you to get involved in, groups. And then, you know, you just get to interact with the other members on the site. So it's pretty dope. Definitely make sure you check it out. Tonight, I'm so excited. Our special guest is none other than Emmy Award winner, actor, singer, songwriter Jason Weaver. What does he not do? Fan forever. So I'm definitely excited about him coming on to be with us tonight. Very excited.
That's awesome, man. I love Jason Weaver, man. That dude has done so much from, you know, the Michael Jackson American Story. You know, how many times have I watched that? I can't even tell you.
One of my
favorite sitcoms back in the day, Smart Guy. Used to love that show, Jason Weaver and Cuba Gooding's brother Omar Gooding. Used to be on that joint. I mean, ATL, Jason Weaver done it all, not to mention all the dope songs he had. So, real excited to have Jason Weaver on the show. That brother is multi-talented, and I'm glad we got him on tonight.
Yeah, he's crazy with it, and I'm very excited and I'm amped up about it. Also, if you can let everybody know how they can be considered to be featured, even if they're not of that caliber, and how they can get their music played, and also the models out there that want to be, you know, get them feature on and see how they can.
Most definitely. Well, I know we got some new listeners. I got hit up in my inbox about music. And that's great. Hit us up about music, and if I don't get right back to you or Onyx don't get right back to you, we definitely going to get back to you within the week. So just hit us up. You can either shout me out on Twitter, shout Onyx out on Twitter at Onyx254. You can shout me out at THAGLUE, that's the glue, and we'll get back with you. We're going to listen to the music. We each listen to it. So if it don't come back right away, I make sure, you know, she listens it. If you send it to me, and if you send it to her, she makes sure I listen to it, so we can all come to a consensus whether we're going to play it on the show or not. Regarding the beautiful music segment, that is where we talk to the beautiful models, video vixens of the world, the ones that grace the video screens, and all these artists that you look at. You always love to look at the girls. I know in G14 we go ham posting the girls everywhere.
Shout out to Jermaine.
Jermaine Dupri be starting early in the morning, nothing but beautiful women on that piece. So you can check us out doing that on Global 14. But we also want to know their perspective. We don't want to just see them in a picture or see them in a video and not speak to them. Like I say every week, a lot of these girls are military women, mothers, and students, you know what I'm saying, master degrees. So a lot of stuff you don't know about these girls, and they come on and they share their thoughts about the industry, the entourages, how they be trying to get at them, and all the groupies that they get, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's always fun talking to them. Like I said, segment's coming back soon, you know what I'm saying, and we're going to have a lot of new models. If you missed the other episodes, you can go back on, you know, Blog Talk Radio, The Cut, check everything out, but it's always a fun time talking with them.
Oh, yeah, that most definitely is, and I can't wait to have that back. And then before we bring Jason Weaver on tonight, you know, I like to get into the units, into the numbers, into the charts. Definitely want to see what's popping this week on the Billboard Hot 100 this week. Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen, she's like killing this. I don't even know how old she is. I got to check that out. The pop charts, Katy Perry with Wide Awake. We also have Radio, Maroon 5 featuring Wiz Khalifa with Payphone. You have the rap song, number one, Mercy, Kanye West featuring Big Sean, Pusha T, and 2 Chainz. And then the number one R&B hip-hop song on the rap charts, I'm sorry, on the R&B hip-hop charts is 2 Chainz, No Lie, featuring Drake. So he finally got him one, moved up a little bit. And then you have the number one R&B hip-hop album. Guess who got it this time around? Guess who got it?
Rosé.
Yes, he did. Rick Ross, God forgives. He broke Nas's 2-week role. Nas was about to pull him in for 3rd week. Ross got it. 218,000, according to the Nielsen sounds, again, in his 1st week. So not bad at all, considering, you know, what the units have been lately. And it's awesome overall. And this is Ross' 4th number one album. So you have to give it up to Ross. You know, even at the end of the day, you're not a fan.
Up.
You got to respect that grind and hustle. Like, you know, come on.
Nah, definitely. And like we said before, like we said every week, the numbers ain't going to be the same. You know, you hardly going to get people out here selling a million records. You know what I'm saying? 218,000 right now, that's a good number. People were expecting Ross to do a little bit better. But, you know, I'm sure he's going to make that up in shows and a whole bunch of other stuff that they got going on. But I'm riding so hard to that joint that he got on there called Ice Cold. Since I got the album, that joint with him and Omarion, I almost got like 4 speeding tickets just bumping that joint in the whip.
That's rolling
so hard. Shout out to Omarion, Rick Ross for bodying that joint. I mean, that's an awesome song. He got a lot of great songs on the album. Shout out to Ross and, like you said, his number one spot.
Yeah, he definitely does his thing. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Omarion, so I'm feeling it. At first, I didn't know how it was going to feel, but I knew it was, you know, the right decision. You know, we all know how the force, how huge of a force Maybach Music is becoming and what they're trying. They're on something crazy. Ross is trying to, like, be on some record-breaking-ish. Because, again, fourth album, number one album. And then, you know, Jay-Z had 12. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what Ross got going on. What about the mixtape?
He's definitely grinding for it.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is, definitely.
So, you know, shout out to the whole MMG camp. Mixtapes. Let's check out the mixtape. We got not really just one that really dropped. That's Roscoe Dash. Dropped his joint 2.0. Shout out Roscoe Dash. You know, I think he make an appearance in the upcoming Love & Hip Hop Atlanta in the season finale.
Wow.
So we got to see.
Okay.
I think he was trying to get Carly Red in that joint. You better watch out for Benzino. Benzino loved that girl after like a week. So, you know, we got to keep up with that Love & Hip Hop APL. That joint is dope. And also, I hear Gucci Mane is about to come back. He didn't release nothing just yet, but later this week, he's going to release his joint, Gucci 3D. So we're going to check out what Gucci Mane got going on. We really haven't heard from him that much since he got out of prison the last time, you know what I'm saying? So see what Gucci Mane got to offer. Ever since then, you know, Wap of them really blown up.
Yeah.
You know, leveling off. So let's see how Gucci Mane, you know, claims his spots back, because his boy is doing very well. So shout out to the whole, you know, Mosaic Entertainment, Gucci Mane, and all they got going on out there in the ATL.
Already. Well, shout out to everybody dropping a mixtape, Hot Heat. Coming up next, like I said, Jason Weaver will be on the line. I'm actually going to get into a joint of his. Well, not of his, but he actually did a remix to the Meek Mill's Amen, and I must say, it is quite jamming. This is Gang featuring Jason Weaver, and we will come back with his exclusive 101 on Global 14 Radio The Cut.
Yes, sir.
Niggas killing, goddamn. We gotta pray for our people, children. Amen. I tell you, I'm gonna let that pussy out so I can light him up just like a church. You let him out, he getting murdered. Who in prison don't kill him first? You gon' be riding in a hearse.
I'll preach.
In that Maserati 2D, smoking on that Uwe. Try not to brag, but I keep the gas. Got 50 racks in my Louis. Got 40 more on my Coogi. She riding around in that new me. Got a fucking free on my jury on. She mad about it, bitch, sue me. Yeah, she blew me. That was last week, she called yesterday. I put her on her knees and I let her pray. And then I kicked her out, I gotta do me. Niggas always talking like they spit harder than gay. I done battle J, I done battle fifth, and I'm still sitting in my range. Playing Battlefield with a bad bitch, swerving in and out of them lanes. You don't like me, you can kiss my ass, my pinky ring and my chain. I done sold records, I done sold hoes, I done sold weed and cane. Got the game sold up, nigga, hold up, down south, I'm Wayne. Pittsburgh, I'm Wiz. New York, I'm Jay. ATL, I'm Andre, and in the MIA, I'm Rosé. Bitch, pass the Rosé. I'm spazzing out, they ass out, I'm cashing out Keisha. Nigga gon' bring back Beavers, resurrect around Easter. Get my check around Rita, get my Rolls Royce feet up. Renew my French bitch visa and hit the church. Living so good, I got a curse.
Preach.
I threw that Bentley in reverse.
I just want to thank God for all the pretty women he led into my life, all the Benjamins he let count.
Already, like I said, that was Jason Weaver, and I do have him on the line right now. What's good, Jason?
Yo, what's going on, Onyx? How y'all doing?
We are good. Very excited to have you on tonight.
Well, I am excited to be on. Thank you all for having me. And I've been really looking forward to this for the past couple of days. I was like, man, let me call in the Global 14 and see what's going on. Y'all
That's
doing all right over there?
Absolutely.
Good, good.
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on tonight, Jay Weaver. We are big fans, man, big fans of everything you've done since you've been a kid in the game, man. Everything is great. Talented dude. We happy to have you on. Want to get into the interview, man, and just take us through all the journey, man, because we've been going. We've been from the outside looking in, so you got to put us in that seat, man, and tell us how you've been winning for all these years, brother.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I want to thank you all, you know, for the kind words and definitely for the support that you all have been giving me, as well as everybody else out there that's been supporting me for years. Like, I really greatly, greatly appreciate it because, as we all know, you know, being in this industry, like, it's definitely not easy. You definitely go through your ups and downs. But if you you have a very strong, you know, support group and people around you that really genuinely care about what it is that you're doing and always supporting you, it definitely makes the game a lot easier, you know what I'm saying, to deal with. So I first of all want to thank you all for that. That's really, really nice of the both of y'all to say. And I mean, I can answer that first question honestly, man. I mean, I'm still here and I'm still doing my thing because, man, God just continues to bless me. Like, you know, we're very aware, all of us are very aware that you have a short lifespan in this industry. Mm-hmm. But I've been very, very fortunate to where every project that I've been involved with and in some form or fashion has touched people and allowed them to connect, you know, even more with me, you know, as a performer and as a person. And, you know, I just continue to really just, I guess, do the kind of projects and be a part of the kind of projects that people just really relate to and really genuinely like. And, you know, I just pray that I can continue to do that. And I got a lot of things in the work, you know, for the future that I'm putting together right now. And, you know, a lot of things that are currently out. For instance, I have like 3 movies that are actually out right now all at the same time that people can either download from Netflix or, you know, they can either check out on BET. One film in particular that I co-produced and then I starred in called He's Mine, Not Yours, that's been coming on BET a lot recently. That's a film that I've been a part of since the very beginning. I want to thank the fans out there who have been, you know, tuning into BET and checking it out, because every time it comes on, it has really, really high ratings and the overall response from everybody that's seen it has been very positive. So I appreciate all of you all who have checked that movie out, because I'm definitely making my transition and then stepping more behind the scenes as a producer and a writer and director. So I got that going on right now. Also have another film. I don't know if it's actually been released yet. I think that it has, but it went straight to DVD. It's called Note to Self. Starring Christian Keys and LaToya Luckett. Christian Keys, very, very talented actor and writer. He wrote the piece himself, and we worked together actually on Dysfunctional Friends, another movie that we were in together, starring Regan Gomez Preston, Wesley Jonathan, Detari Turner, Keith Robinson, Stacey Dash, Terrell Owens. I have that movie out as well, but that's where I met Christian, and then we did Note to Self together, the film that he wrote. So, yeah, I got a lot of different things that are, you know, are out right now. I'm on a freestyle with my homeboy Game, the big homie Game, for Amen. So, yeah, right. So, you know, I'm still going hard with the music as well. A lot of people ask me about that from time to time whenever I do interviews or whenever I'm on Twitter. You know, they're always asking me when, you know, I'm going to be putting out more music. So this is actually kind of the first step of reintroducing myself, you know, as an artist and as a songwriter in that particular sense, you know, as an entertainer. So I have more music coming as well. So that's going to be really, really exciting. And I hope that people really, really dig where I'm coming from creatively on that end. I'm also putting together a series of short films that I'm partnering up with my homeboy Albert Daniels, also known as I'll Be Back. He played Brooklyn in ATL. We have some things that we're working on together because he's a filmmaker as well and a director. So we're going to be releasing some things virally within the next 3 to 4 weeks that I think are really going to shock people and really get them into the movement that we got going on. We're going to start presenting mixtapes for, like, actors. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
wow.
When you see somebody, like, when you hear of a rapper, you know, before they actually come out with the mixtape, they will prep it and, you know, get people to kind of, you know, have their mouths watering for it. So they'll release, mm-hmm. like, you know, a couple songs here and there. Well, in this particular case, what we're going to be doing is releasing, like, little vignettes and shorts, 2 to 3 minutes that will be posted online, that will have an aggressive viral marketing campaign to coincide with it. And we'll do, like, 3 or 4 different vignettes that we'll put out for people to kind of catch and view and check out. And then towards the end of the releases, it'll probably be 5 or 6 in all, then we'll put out, like, a full compilation of all the shorts that we did, you know, just one complete actor's mixtape. So that's something that that I'm working on with him as well, as well as a web series that I created with my homeboy, The Dream, called The Sneakerhead Chronicles. With our writing partners, Daniel Salzberg and Neil Sadu, and that's based on the sneaker community, you know, that exists out here. That's become kind of like a major, major cult and a big deal. It's still somewhat of a subculture, so to speak, but we're hoping that through the web series that we release, it will raise some awareness as to the power that they have in the community, in the entertainment community, or just lifestyle in general, and how much they play into it. So, yeah, we got a lot going on, y'all. We working
hard.
Yeah, you got a
nice list. You got a nice list. We sitting here trying to keep up, tweeting it out, letting everybody know what you got going on and popping. And you know what? I'm just floored and just, you know, privileged that you're on the show with us tonight, because not only do we want to know about everything that you have going on right now, but we also want to get into how did you even begin into all of that. And one of my things that I wanted to know is, I know that your mother was a you know, singer herself, and I wanted to know what your household was like when you was growing up and how that was about. How was that? Was you singing in the living room before the acting, before you was Jason Weaver to us? How was the household like?
I grew up in a pretty, you know, normal household. I was raised by my mother, a single parent, in Chicago, Illinois. Shout out to Chi-Town, all my people back home. I was raised at the crib, you know, with her. And, I mean, my mother tried her best. I think that she did a really good job in helping me to grow and mature, you know, from a boy going into my manhood. But she also encouraged my dreams and my different goals and things that I aspire to do. And you know, it didn't even necessarily have to do with anything in entertainment. I mean, anything that I kind of have focused my mind upon and something that I was excited about. My mother always went full steam ahead to make sure that she encouraged me, you know, 110%, and gave me all the necessary tools needed in order to facilitate those goals. But it just so happened, you know, that I grew up in an entertainment industry family. You know, like you said earlier, my mother was a jingle singer for many years, who was a part of, like, some huge commercial campaigns that came out of Chicago in the mid to late 80s, early 90s. She also, before then, prior to working in the jingle industry, she was, like, a backup singer for some of the world, you know, the biggest R&B music stars, you know, that era, like a la Aretha Franklin, Curtis Mayfield, who else? It was just so many people that her, as well as my aunt, had worked with. They even had a recording contract on Mercury Records. You guys can probably look that up on YouTube as well. their name was called Kitty and the Haywoods. That's what they were called, Kitty and the Haywoods. And they were fresh out of Chicago, and it was her and her two sisters and her niece Cynthia, and they had a group. And, they had a really good career in the recording industry and moved over into jingles. And then that's when, you know, the other generation, the younger generation of our family began to kind of come out into our own and began to express genuine interest and wanted to get involved in the entertainment industry. And, you know, everybody in my family, thank God, has been successful in their own right in everything that they've aspired to do in the entertainment industry. It just so happens that, you know, I'm really the only actor out of my family. But my cousins have been a part of some of, like, the biggest records in music history, especially as of recently. One of my cousins is Tricky Stewart, who is the president of Epic Records and also the producer of, like, Umbrella and Single Ladies. And, I mean, that's how I know Dream and everybody. And his brother, Lainey Stewart, who's produced a lot of records for people. Like, back in the 90s, like, Shantae Moore, Keith Washington, he produced for them. He actually has an artist out right now by the name of Alex Jack, that you guys should definitely check out and please support. He has a mixtape out. Yeah, he has a mixtape out right now called, I don't know if I could curse on here. Can I?
Yeah, you can.
All right, cool. The name of the mixtape is called Dorm Room Fucking or Dorm Fucking Music, DFM. That's what it is.
Okay.
And he's a really, really talented artist and somebody that's been working alongside my cousin for a lot of years. So yeah, I mean, I've been... you know, I've been very blessed to be a part of that kind of family, to where, you know, we inspire one another and we definitely encourage and help one another when the time is needed. And all of us have been able to, you know, in our own right, be very successful and stay in our own individual lanes and still be able to maintain as a family. So it's definitely a blessing.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. And I was actually going to ask you also, when you first discovered you had a love for the entertaining yourself, and then you kind of went into that as well, with growing up with everyone and you all, the second generation, coming through the door and doing some things. Do you remember your first performance and how that was, whether it was acting or singing? What was it?
No, I was singing. It was actually singing. My first performance, my aunt, Ann Stewart, had a all-female mass choir that used to tour around the Chicagoland area where they would perform at high schools, you know, churches, different auditoriums and civic centers. They had a actually pretty huge following in Chicago and parts of Indiana. And, yeah, one of the first things that I ever did, I believe I was like 5 or 6 years old, I sang a solo to one of the songs. I forgot the song, exactly what it was, but I did sing a solo in that choir when I was around 5 or 6. And then as time went on, as I got older, I continued to participate in that mass choir with just singing solos, you know, every once in a while. So that was kind of like my first taste of being in front of an audience and getting that instant gratification that comes with performing in front of an audience. But I think my genuine love for entertainment, especially film and television, came when, you know, I would grow up looking at movies like E.T. And Jaws, and, you know, anything really having to do with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, like every kid that was born in the 80s. You know, I grew up watching those films. So, you know, I was always fascinated not only by the look of it, but also how it was made, you know, with the special effects and, you know, with the actors' ability. Because I knew that they were actors. I knew that that wasn't them, their actual personality. So I was really intrigued to find out what they did as people to kind of get into that zone and hone in into a character and become that character. So it was something that just naturally, you know, kind of came to me. And by the grace of God, and I'm very fortunate to be able to say this, but with my mother, you know, already being in the entertainment industry, she knew a lot of people from the jingle business that, you know, were involved in advertising, to where I could start, you know, initially doing commercials in the Chicagoland area. So I started doing, you know, print ads and small commercials here and there. And then I got my first full-length feature film role when I was 9 years old. It was a film called The Long Walk Home, starring Whoopi Goldberg and Sissy Spacek.
Yes.
And it was about the Montgomery bus boycott in the 50s. And that was my first opportunity to kind of, you know, get out there and show that I did have a God-given talent. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. I remember that. I did not know that you were in Brewster, please. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it wasn't the actual miniseries that starred Oprah and Jack A. They actually did a series on ABC called Brewster Place that starred Oprah and a whole bunch of new cast members. And mm-hmm. it was really short-lived. Unfortunately, we were only able to do, I think, like 10 episodes or something like that. But it did give me the opportunity to meet Oprah and work with her and work at Harpo Studios. And, you know, during that time, you know, I learned so much from her and from all the different people that she brought around to influence and educate us, not only as actors, but, you know, just as human beings. I got an opportunity to meet Alex Haley, the author of Roots.
Wow.
You know, amazing. years before he passed away, and he sat down, you know, during our lunch and was able to explain to us, you know, what motivated him to put together Roots and, you know, tell us really, like, candid, behind-the-scenes exclusive information that probably most people wouldn't able to get, you know, from a mm-hmm. DVD or something like that. So I was very blessed and fortunate to be around those kind of people from an early age.
Absolutely. I mean, that's incredible. And then I have to ask you, of course, one of my favorite movies of all time, forever, American Dream, Michael Jackson. Please share some moments. What was the process like filming that? And just, I guess, the audition itself. That's incredible, incredible.
I can tell you, well, thank you. Now, thank you, first off, for saying that's one of your favorite films. I appreciate that.
Oh, my God,
that,
of all time,
actually,
ever.
Thank you. Now, it was actually one of my more favorite films to make that I've been a part of. It taught me so much just about work ethic in general and striving for excellence. You know, the auditioning process within itself was very, very grueling because, you know, Michael had to pick who played him, you know, from all different age groups, whether it was the younger, you know, whether it was the middle, who was me, and the older Michael Jackson, who was played by Wiley Draper. And, you know, from the very beginning, from the first audition, I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of kids around the world, you know, that were auditioning for, you know, my particular role. And, you know, I was just a kid, you know, coming from Cook County, coming from the Shy, and, you know, I knew that I had a talent that I was blessed with. But, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be taken seriously like that. I mean, I was only at that time, I think, 10 and a half or 11 years old. And, you know, my thing was I just wanted the opportunity just to perform and just, you know, and Michael just got a chance to see it just so he could know that I existed, just so that, you know, he could see me perform.
Right.
But I never really thought, you know, further down the line as to whether, you know, he was going to pick me or not. But I went through, you know, a series of very grueling auditions to where after I left, you know, they flew me out from Chicago. They brought me out here to Los Angeles. I auditioned in front of the Jackson family, which in turn, it was so funny because when I auditioned in front of the Jackson family, prior to me walking in the room, one of the production assistants had made a mistake and given me the sides for Randy, which was a fairly smaller role. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that particular time, you know, I was 11. You know, I really wasn't shy like that, but I didn't really want to rock the boat. You know, I didn't want to get anybody in trouble. So, you know, I didn't alert them as to the fact that the production assistant had given me the wrong size. I kind of just waited for one of the other actors to come out, and then I stole theirs, and then I went in and auditioned. So I pretty much had, you know, like a really cold read in front of the family, but you know, I was just able to pull it off. And then, you know, from there, they sent me and my mother back to Chicago until they were able to get the final decision from Michael. And I think we waited. I was on pins and needles for maybe about a month and a half, 2 months, because he was rehearsing for the Dangerous tour. And I think they had some other things contractually that they had to work out with the ABC network. So the project was a little bit on hold for a while, but one day I came home from school and, you know, my mother alerted me to the fact that, you know, my agent had called and told me that I booked the role, and I ran up and down my block, like, letting everybody know. I think everybody thought I was crazy, or they didn't believe me, because all I did was just knock on doors and ring doorbells saying, I'm playing Michael Jackson, I'm playing Michael, and everybody's like, what? And it wasn't until, like, you know, we left and we got on the plane, you know, headed to Pittsburgh, which is one place where we shot, and then we shot in Los Angeles. It really wasn't until I think people really saw it that they were like, okay, like, this is a kid from our neighborhood that really, this dude is really playing Michael Jackson right now. So it was a trip, but it was a major learning experience for me as a performer, you know, as an actor, as a singer, as just an all-around, you know, professional. And I just gained so much from it. I mean, you know, personally, professionally, the whole nine, I really walked away with some very fond memories and some great friends that I still keep in contact with, you know, to this day.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Amazing story. Definitely did not know. I guess we kind of assumed Michael had a, you know, a input as well. But, you know, just to be handpicked by him is just, it's incredible. I mean, that's just amazing.
Oh,
you did a wonderful job. You look just like him.
Thank you
crazy.
So much. Thank you. And I want to, and for real, I want to thank everybody out there, too, those who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want everybody to know, you know, how much I appreciate whether it's the tweets, you know, that I get from people or whether it's just, you know, random conversations that I have with people out in the street. I want to let everybody know, you know, how much I appreciate them for, you know, really, really supporting me and the rest of the cast in that film. You know, I've had people that have come up to me and, you know, they're older, of course. We're all adults now. But, you know, I have people that have come up to me and be like, yo, man, every time that miniseries comes on, I don't care what I'm doing. Like, I will stop what I'm doing and watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole 5 hours. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really, a lot of people really like it. So I want to thank you and as well as everybody else who, you know, continues to support and make people aware of it when it comes out on TV and everything. So thank you.
Oh, no, we own that. We don't have to wait for the TV. We own it personally. And my mom called
right.
me and was like, please tell him that I loved him and everything he did. I'm like, Mom, okay, I got to get ready. Get off the phone. She was so excited.
That's what's up. Well, tell Mom I said hello. Tell her I said hello and thank you as well. That's what's up.
I will. And speaking, since we're going down the childhood real quick, I want to ask you also, do you anticipate how huge Lion King was going to be? Because, you know, you did, of course, you did Simba. Wasn't it crazy? It was pandemonium.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, how I got selected for that particular project, we were actually still shooting the Jacksons miniseries. And there's one particular scene where I was singing Who's Loving You? That it was like a live performance or whatever. They have it in the miniseries, but that particular day, while we were shooting, I had to sing it live. And there were like two reps from Disney that were there. I think they were just there just, you know, on some random occasion, you know, just there to kind of see what it was that we were doing. And Elton John was there as well. And,
wow.
you know, me not knowing who Elton John was at that time, I was, you know, still a really young kid and still very new, you know, to the industry, so to speak, as far as all the different stars and personalities. And they approached me after I got through shooting the scene and asked me if, you know, I had any interest of coming in and auditioning for the singing voice of, you know, this cartoon that they're doing called The Lion King. And, you know, of course, I was familiar with Disney. I grew up on Disney and, you know, I knew at that time they were really rebuilding their brand because they had released Beauty and the Beast and they had released Aladdin. And, you know, both of those movies were, you know, huge successes. So I knew that they were still trying to follow along, you know, in that line of creating great movies. But I really had no idea as to how huge that particular film was going to be. And, you know, I met Elton and he asked me to come to the studio and, me and my mother were actually scheduled to leave California, I think, the following week to go back home. And, you know, Disney had worked it out some kind of way to where after I rapped on the Jacksons, they kept me and my mother out, I think, for another week and a half. And then I went in and recorded. And I had no idea, you know, that they were actually going to run with, you know, with that. I thought really they were just auditioning kids to see whose voices fit.
Mm-hmm.
But after I sang I Just Can't Wait to Be King down a couple of times, then after that, you know, they begin to kind of talk seriously, I guess, as far as like, well, who's, you know, who do we get in contact with as far as your agent and your manager? And of course we gave them that information. And then from there, they started asking me if I had any interest in doing the speaking role for Simba, which I auditioned for as well. But unfortunately, that didn't go any farther because during that time, they had already had put out an offer to Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And at that time, he was an official, like, Disney employee because he was on Home Improvement. So it would have been a conflict of interest, I believe, with their company and with him and with his people. And so they just said, well, you know, we'll keep him. We'll decide to keep him on as a speaking voice. But, you know, we definitely want to use you as the singing voice for Simba. And, yeah, you know, we'll send over the contracts to your attorney and all of that. And,
right.
You know, of course, my mother and my manager and my agents and all of that, they worked out everything accordingly. And I kind of just went back to my regular life, you know, with going back to school and, you know, playing football out in the concrete with my homeboys and everything. And then
me and my mother,
we went to the theater one day. It's just some random, I forgot what we were going to go see, but, you know, they have the previews before the actual, you know, feature presentation. And then all of a sudden, on this big-ass movie screen, you know, the whole Circle of Life theme comes on, and they do, like, that whole five-minute trailer that they had, and then at the end, it just said Lion King. And I was just like, holy shit, like, am I really a part of that? Like, is that the movie that I sang on? And my mother was like, yeah, that's it. And then, you know, I think about a month later, you know, when the film actually came out, then, you know, that's when I knew it was real because, you know, I was seeing everybody go to the theater and then Disney was sending us, like, you know, all of this random stuff, merchandise and, you know, and newspaper reports about the film and then, you know, inviting us to different events that, you know, under normal circumstances, we probably wouldn't have, you know, been invited to or been able to go to. But, you know, it was a definite eye-opener for me and one of the more just one of the more beautiful experiences in my life and career. And I'm truly thankful to God for that.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I mean, it was crazy. I know my little brothers, they had the bed sheets, and we had the soundtrack, and they were, like, 2 years old, and it was one of their favorite movies. So, again, I think it was just crazy when Lion King came out. I'll never forget that. And so, again, you did Thea. You did Smart Guy, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Loved you in that,
mm-hmm.
Marcus. You are, like, naturally funny, too. And I actually, you did the freest song. Drumline was hilarious as well. Lady Killers ATL.
Thank you
know, the list goes on. You were super funny
yeah.
in ATL. Everybody loves
yeah.
you in that as well. What are some of the things
you.
That... You're welcome. What are some of the things you look for when you're reading a script that's been either pitched to you or maybe when you're out looking for, you know, a role to you? What is there some things that you kind of go by before you say yes or no?
Well, really, I look at it if I could just naturally be able to find something in the character that I can relate to. You know, and it doesn't, and what I mean by that is it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it has to be a hood role or it has to be something that, you know, is typical, so to speak, when they're depicting African-American, you know, young men on camera, whatever. It's not that. Like, I could find something in, you know, a sociopath-type character. Like, if there's something in it that I can relate to, if there's something in his personality or maybe there's a line or a moment that the character has in the script that maybe I've gone through personally and that I've experienced, then that's kind of what I base, you know, my decision off of. And I'm very, very... I'm very, very picky about the way black men are presented in film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can definitely cover, you know, the full spectrum of characters that are out there, you know, in relation to us. But I think it's also very important, being that there are very few opportunities that we really get, you know, as black actors to present ourselves with, you know, in a respectful manner and something that people could look at and feel proud about and feel good about. You know, that's also another determining factor for me. You know, even if I'm playing a criminal, you know, in a film or a television project, I want there to be some kind of, you know, some kind of redeeming factors to that character, to where you can allow or you can see where there's some maturity and there's some growth or there's been some kind of positive transition that allows this character to move forward and become a better person. So, you know, I definitely look for that. And, you know, I also look for, you know, things that are just overall well written. Like, you know, the story definitely has to connect in a way with me to where I could see other people relating to it and other people enjoying it. And, you know, and then on top of that, you know, the rest of the cast, you know, who's involved in it. If I know that I'm dealing with some serious actors who are going to be involved in it, then, you know, of course I take it even more serious, and, you know, the director and all of that. So there's a series of things. There's a checklist that I do, you know, kind of go through prior to me saying, like, yeah, I definitely want to, you know, be a part of that project. But, I mean, for the most part, as long as, you know, I can find something in the character that I can relate to and where it doesn't have me going, you know, so far astray out of my own morals and beliefs and what I really rock with, then 9 times out of 10, I'll roll with it.
All right. Well, that's definitely good to know. I really respect that you do have, you know, that conviction to say, you know, I'm willing to do this, but at the same time, this is more of my lane and what I'd like to do and the direction I'd like to go. So I know that, well, the last I checked, because you had Weaver Wednesdays. You were doing the YouTube Weaver Wednesdays.
Yes.
I tuned in. That's how I hooked up with King, which is, I love Mark. Shout out to them for hooking this up and getting us rolling.
Absolutely.
We've been networking for, I want to say, almost 2 years now, or it's been a minute, so glad to have you on. But how do you find a balance with being a single father? At the time you were single, I don't know now, but you were a single father and may still be,
yes.
So how do you find the balance with that in your career?
That's actually a really good question. I mean, it is a very delicate balance with being a single father, because I am single and I'm a father of an 11-year-old, my son Jalen. Shout out to him if he's listening. It's a very delicate balance. But I've been very fortunate in a sense to where, you know, once again, kind of reverting back to what I was saying about my family and having a stable, you know, support system. I have my mother that's there, who's willing to come out to California at the drop of a dime and be here, you know, in case I need her to watch my son, you know, if me and his mother are working. You know, I have plenty of family members as well that offer their time and their assistance to be there for us, because I'm very picky about, you know, who my son is around. So I don't really roll with babysitters and stuff, because I live in a very sick world. So I'm very reluctant, you know, very reluctant to bring, you know, strangers around my child. But, you know, I'm fortunate to where I have a good family structure. And me and my son's mother, you know, although we're not together and have not been together for a large amount of years, we've been able to work proactively together as parents and as one cohesive unit to provide, you know, the best environment that we can for our son. And I'm not just speaking monetarily, but I'm also speaking as far as, you know, just having support, you know, in general, whether it's, you know, school plays or functions that go on, extracurricular activities, you know, homework, just overall time being spent to help the development of our child and to nurture him and to help him grow into being a responsible and good, decent human being. So, you know, we work together to where when I have to work, you know, she has my son and does what she needs to do with him. And then when she's working, and if I have some downtime, you know, he's definitely with me. And if we're working at the same time, then some way, somehow, you know, I have my mother come out or one of our other family members, and just ways are always made. But I'm very proud to say that me and her work very well together in a staff or in making sure that, you know, our homes that we provide for our child are stable and that they're positive. So I'm very proud to be able to say that.
Oh, yeah, it's truly a blessing, especially these days. And I commend you for that. And it's just a beautiful thing. I'm definitely glad that, because we would have known. If you had some drama, we would have known about it. It would have been on Bossip or TMZ or some kind of crazy gossip site. So definitely.
Definitely. But now we... you know, fortunately, like, now we don't deal with anything like that. And, you know, and we've been very smart, too, in the way that, you know, we've even handled our child being in the entertainment industry or being a product of, you know, a father who's in the entertainment industry as well as his mother who does her thing in the industry as well. We've just been able to successfully keep his life as normal and out of the public eyes as much as we can. And I think that that's been beneficial, you know, to our son as well as us, to where we can raise him the right way. So yeah, it's working out really cool. And, you know, if there ever comes a time when our son does decide that he wants to get involved in the entertainment industry, if that day does come, he will always have, you know, my full support as well as his mother and I believe everybody else in the family. But, you know, I want him to have a stable and regular childhood first.
Right.
And then allow him to have his own, you know, his own moment where he can say, I'm ready to move into it and do something.
Right, right. That's awesome. It's amazing. Yeah. Love it. Third generation coming through the door, possibly. I wanted to ask you, since you at this thing and, of course, do so much, do you enjoy one more than the other? And if so, why?
Actually, I don't. I just get enjoyment out of entertaining people and making people happy, you know, whether I'm singing. You know, I got a lot of people who know me from my acting background, but, you know, I know I have a lot of fans and people that have supported me since I was on Motown Records. And when I was releasing, you know, my album through them or my single through them. And, you know, my thing is, as long as I'm able in some form or fashion to inspire people, to make people feel good, to bring, you know, just genuine enjoyment, you know, into their lives and happiness into their lives through the gift that I was blessed with, you know, that's enough for me. I'm not a fame whore. You know, I'm not an attention whore or anything like that. You know, the only thing I ask for or the only thing I look for in my life is just to be able to provide for my family with doing what I love to do. And doing what I love to do is making people happy, you know, through my talent. So, you know, as long as I'm able to do that, you know, for the rest of my life, I'm content. And I thank God, you know, for that opportunity every day to be able to do that, you know.
No, absolutely. Amen to that. Well, I have just a few more things, and I just want to thank you for your time. I appreciate you staying on the line with me so, so long.
Okay.
And sharing the moments with us. It's just been an exciting time tonight. I'm just, again, very privileged. Can you describe to me one of your most exciting or craziest experiences on the set or on the stage? Fans or just anything that you can, that popped up?
I mean, to be honest with you, like, I just going to work every day. Like, I could tell you, as an actor, and somebody who's in this business, and somebody who's seen the ups and downs, as well as experienced certain ups and downs in my career and in life in general, when you can wake up every day and go to work doing something that you love to do, and when you get a chance to work with good people that, you know, inject, you know, positivity and joy into your life, and where you can smile all day and have a good time and laugh and get paid to do it, that's exciting enough for me.
Okay.
Like, it don't need to be, it don't need to be like no bells and whistles. I don't need no explosions. I don't need, like, none of that. Like, you know, with me being able to do that, you know, when given the opportunity, when the opportunity is presented, you know, that's enough for me. Because every day that I'm on set, every day that I'm in the studio, or each and every person that I come in contact with, you know, through those experiences and through those encounters, I learn a lot about myself every day, or I learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even when there are days where you may think, it's not that exciting, like if you're just on a random audition day and, you know, you're just going from audition to audition and, you know, it just seems like the same rigmarole over and over and over again. You know, little do you know, when you finally get back home and you decompress and you begin to reflect on your day, you'll be like, yo, I actually learned something from this person today. Or, you know, I ran into this person who I normally probably wouldn't run into, And that gave me the opportunity to connect with them. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I got to audition for a role that I normally wouldn't go out for. Like, that was mm-hmm. more serious and more dramatic. So, you know, there's something about being in this business every day, good, bad, or ugly, that provides some kind of excitement and some kind of growth, you know, to where you can evolve as a human being and as a talent every day.
That's awesome. You're so humble, and you, as I've watched you and known you from the outside looking, of course, you've always seemed to be that way, and it's just amazing. It's nice to have to meet. It's a pleasure to speak with someone like yourself who's done so much, accomplished so much. I'm still striving to do more, and then with the, again, the humility and the respect that you've shown, just with everyone and with your fans, you truly do appreciate them, and we appreciate you.
I really appreciate that. No, I mean, those words, like, they really do mean a lot because, and not to harp on it, but just to expand upon it a little bit. I mean, in this mm-hmm. industry, you know, for us as performers, as actors, singers, all of that, like, you know, a lot of people come with this preconceived notion or this misconception that it's an easy business to be a part of. It's really not. It's fun, but, you know, it definitely has, you know, its moments, but I can honestly tell you and for the rest of the people that are out there listening, you know, the words of encouragement and the positivity that you all display towards us, you know, whether it's out in the street or whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like, please know that kind of positive encouragement and that love and support is greatly appreciated. So, you know, me having the standpoint that I have of just being constantly thankful and appreciative of everything that I have, it's because, like, I know how it is out here. Like, it's mm-hmm. not easy. And it's mm-hmm. not easy to stay in the game for the amount of time, you know, that I've been in it. But, you know, I have a lot of people out there who are constantly praying for me and supporting the work that I do. Mm-hmm. So I can't help but to be humbled, you know, by that. And to just continue to strive to be better and be, you know, be the best man that I can be and be the best performer I can be. So thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so, so welcome. And I know there's so many people that are listening right now. And it was crazy. We had a lot of calls online, and they're just holding, listening, and intrigued, as well as we are as well. my last thing that I wanted to ask you was, if you weren't in the entertainment industry, is there anything that you think that you would be doing, most likely be doing, if you weren't? I know I hate the shoulda, coulda, woulda, but if you, you know, what do you find interesting outside of the entertainment industry, if anything?
I mean, that's a good question. I really don't know, because the entertainment industry is all I know. I mean, from what I can remember, since I was 4 or 5 years old, all I've ever thought about was performing and, you know, acting and being on TV and singing. And I've never really thought about anything else. But what I honestly can say is, when I do decide at some point in my life, I don't even think it has anything to do with retirement. I think it's just whenever I get the free time and the opportunity to do it, I would like to pursue being a restaurateur of, like,
wow.
fine dining establishments. I am, like, a classically trained chef. Like, I graduated the first of my class at Le Cordon Bleu here in Hollywood, so I am technically a chef. I've worked.
Cool.
I've done internships. Yeah, I've done, like, internships at some of, like, the finest restaurants in North America. So I do have a passion for food. It's actually something that I've done in between time from, like, one film to the next, you know, just to stay active and just to stay mm-hmm. motivated and to stay being creative. Like, I will go and work the back of the house at, like, somebody's fine dining establishment, and people would never know it, but some of those meals that they'll be getting at, like, Morton's or, you know, Leal or one of those other places, like, I 9 times out of 10 would have been one of the team members on there that cooked it. So I
right.
do have a passion, you know, for food, and I do have an interest in opening up restaurants and nightclubs. You know, like I said, when the opportunity presents itself and when I also have, you know, more time in my free schedule, you know, to pursue that, because that does take a huge amount of time and energy to run a successful restaurant or business like that. So I want to make sure that I'm in a space where, you know, personally you know, I feel accomplished, where I fulfilled, you know, my dream and my destiny as far as everything I want to do in entertainment. And then, you know, when that day comes, and even up to the point, you know, before that actual day comes, when I win the Oscar, you know, if
right,
if there's
right.
an opportunity to partner up with, you know, with some other people to do something like that, then I will.
That's awesome. And I'll be putting in an application because I'm a catering manager.
Yes,
that's
please,
what I do
yeah,
in my
come
daytime.
On, as a matter of fact, well, as a matter of fact, as successful as you are right now, you should come in as a partner. You should bring the startup capital together. You
hey.
Know what I'm saying? And we can just make it happen.
That's right. Well, again, I'm just, again, very excited tonight. You have made my night, and I'm sure very many others. My co-host Golden is still on the line. He may have a couple of things he wants to say and ask you
okay.
as well. We love having you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, well,
Golden.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh,
is he still on,
man,
or did he get out?
No,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
here.
You
hello?
Hear
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
I can hear you
hear
now.
Me?
My bad. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. Just wanted to, awesome interview, man. Definitely kudos to you, man, your talents and your longevity in this industry. Like you said, I know it's not easy, man. We see people come and go all the time, but you've been
yeah.
around and you've been putting it down in whatever you do. So just want to continue giving you the kudos on that. I have a few questions for you, most definitely.
Sure.
Young African Americans are out there. You know, they're striving mm-hmm. to get into this industry. I have a couple of friends right now that's actually looking for funding so they can get a SAG card, things of that nature. For
mm-hmm.
young guys coming up in the industry, especially our youth, African Americans, minorities, do you have any
mm-hmm.
advice for them as far as how they go about pursuing these roles? Maybe it's how to hit the auditions or how to get themselves out there. Is there anything that you would let them know that they should make sure they're doing?
No, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to share that information. Well, the first thing that I think is the most important that I think any wisdom that I can impart on any actress or actor is to recognize first and foremost that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's a marathon.
So if you're getting into this business only concerned about being a celebrity, then you're coming into it for, like, the wrong reasons. Or if you're just concerned about getting into it and becoming rich, then I can let you know you're almost kind of setting yourself up for the okey-doke, because there are some people whose journeys, you know, they do get into the game and they immediately start experiencing success and wealth and all of that. But then there are a lot of people, you know, who are more on like a gradual climb, who take more of like not a relaxed approach, but their climb and their evolution as far as being a performer is a lot slower than others. So the first thing I would tell people is have a genuine passion for it. Be in it because you want to be involved in it, because you love to perform. You love to act. You love to entertain people. That's the first thing. Upon you, you know, doing that assessment of yourself and finding out if that's really you, then, of course, after that, you know, it will take a little bit of money that you would have to take to invest in yourself, which is getting your headshots done, you know, which is relatively, like, inexpensive nowadays. It used to be a pretty heavy expense back when I started, you know, but now to the advancement of technology and with people having 5D cameras and, you know, people having Instagram and
right.
all of that stuff, you can manipulate photos now to where you can give it a professional and good look without you having to spend, you know, absurd amounts of money to get that done. Upon you doing that, upon you getting the headshot and all of that completed, if you do have any prior experience on set or just being in movies in general or commercials, you know, list out a resume, like put together a basic resume, you know, explaining like your background, whether you went to acting school or whether you know, were part of the drama program or the drama club in high school or college or whatever. You know, put all of that stuff
right.
on that resume. If you've only done commercials, list the commercials that you've done, you know, whatever the case may be. Make sure you have your full contact information on there, your email, and have a professional email set up, not something which is like, oh, smokingblunts, you know, at gmail.com. Like, you know, have some for real, you know, have some for real shit, you know, to where an agent or a casting director will be able to get in contact with you if they're interested. And then also, oh, you guys got to excuse me, too. My phone bugs out sometimes. But upon you doing that, there are plenty of websites that you can go to where you can upload your pictures and your resume. There's one in particular that actually comes to my email all the time. It's called nowcasting.com, nowcasting.com. And it's a website that allows not only actors who do have track records and extensive resumes to upload their stuff, but also for first-timers or novices, you know, who are trying to get in the game and who are trying to become exposed to or trying to expose themselves to casting directors and agents and producers. I do know of a lot of reputable casting directors and producers who do go on that website and check out some of the new young talent that has uploaded some of their stuff. If you have a reel, basically like any scenes that you've been a part of where you've been speaking or anything like that, you can upload all of those visuals. If you have shorts or anything that you've done on your own, you can upload all of that onto that website, nowcasting.com. And then I would say, you know, after that, once you've done those three, you know, initial things on your own, then kind of seek out finding solid representation, finding a solid agent, you know, finding a solid manager. Now, what I mean by that is you don't have to go out and contact William Morris Endeavor. You don't have to go out and contact CAA. You don't have to go out immediately and contact UTA. You can do a thorough investigation of a lot of different agencies. You can go on the Screen Actors Guild website, SAG.org, that's SAG.org, and you can go on their website, and they have a list of agents on there that you can look at that vary, whether they're commercial or print or film and television. And you can begin to kind of just scroll through all of those different agencies, you know, send your resume and your pics out to them, you know, reach out to a contact person there so that you're on their radar, and just begin the process of putting yourself out there to gain visibility and to allow people to see you. And, you know, and wherever you may be at geographically, you know, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Atlanta, Chicago, New York, just make sure that you're available, you know, at any given time to be called out, you know, to Los Angeles or New York or even Atlanta, because Atlanta's booming right now as far as film and television, especially with
right.
African Americans. You
absolutely
know, just be prepared
right.
at any moment. Yeah, be prepared at any moment to be called to audition. And if you're serious about it, make the necessary sacrifices that need to go down or that need to happen so that you can be there in front of their face and hopefully get the role. You know, it's not nothing about what we do as actors is glamorous like that. That's a misconception. I mean, it does become glamorous once you cross over a particular threshold and have reached a certain level of success and fame and notoriety or whatever. But people really have to keep in mind that this is a cutthroat business, and it's a grueling business, and it's not a cakewalk. So, you know, if I would say to those who are serious about becoming an actor or becoming an entertainer, if you are for real, do those necessary steps and go forward, go with God, have faith. No matter how many times you get knocked down, no matter how many times you get rejected, pick yourself back up again and keep going until, you know, that preparedness meets opportunity. And then when those two things collide, then that's when the shit hits the fan and you accomplish, you know, your goal or you see your dreams, you know, manifest and come to fruition. So that would be the best advice that I could give to anybody entering into the game right now.
Listen, brother, that right there was just like jewels was dropping everywhere. That was like the video game when you hit all the coins and they just drop one below.
My man.
That everybody was listening to that joint because it was like, bling, 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 bling. Like that was 101 for all you people out there that's aspiring. It is a cutthroat business, and I wanted to ask you one more thing because it's kind of interesting to me right now. I'm a big Netflix guy now, and I see all these great movies on Netflix that I sit there and watch, and I'm like, wow, like the movie you directed, Doug, like I would have been Carl Payne's, I would have been the Carl Payne on your shoulder. I love that movie. It's yours, not mine. When he was like, you better hit that. I would have been that dude. That was an awesome movie. And I'm getting to see all these different movies that a lot of African-Americans are starting in, a lot of minorities are starring in. Is Netflix and things like Redbox giving you guys more of a distribution lane to direct your own films and actually get them out there in a way where that's...
No, absolutely, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I get so many tweets a day, or I get so many things on Facebook, or you know just people in general that stop me on the street and they're like, you know, they're like, hello, can you hear me?
You still there?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, okay, I'm still here. My bad. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Nah, but you know I get so many people that ask me. They're like, well, yo, man, I would love to see you, and I would love to see this other actor and this other actress and more, you know, feature films that come to the movie theater, or, you know, I want to see you guys on TV more. Like, I love the stuff that you all are doing now, but, you know, I would love to see you more on, you know, these kind of networks and this kind of stuff. But what people fail to understand and realize is, and this is not a conspiracy theory, mind you, and this is not a diss to Hollywood or a kick to them. But Hollywood is very reluctant to present the black experience, whether it's family or just life in general, on a major platform like that, such as, you know, a big screen in the movie theater. Or some networks are reluctant, with the exception of like BET or TV One or certain other networks. Some networks are reluctant to put forth the effort and the money to put these projects out there for a mass audience to see them. And it has nothing to do with racism, I don't think. I think to some degree it may have to do with that. But a lot of it has to do with Hollywood is dollars and cents. If Hollywood feels like, you know, the audience that this film is made for isn't going to come out and support it and put the money behind it, then they're not gonna properly finance it, or they're not gonna green light it. The one thing that Netflix and Redbox and different outlets like BET and TV One are able to do for us, we're able to shit on Hollywood and prove them wrong and say, like, no, there is an audience that exists. There are African Americans or minority audiences that want to see us depicted in a positive light, or that just don't like seeing us play gangster roles, or just don't like seeing us be on drugs, or just don't like seeing our men and our women abuse each other physically and emotionally in relationships. No, Hollywood, you're actually wrong with that shit. Like, we actually do have good films out there that our people come out and support and get behind and put the money behind and show in the receipts. And that's what Netflix and that's what Redbox and all these different avenues and outlets are able, you know, to do for us. Because, you know, some people, some fans will feel positively towards it, but then you'll have some ignorant people out there that are like, oh, man, it's a shame. All y'all black actors are doing now is just doing, you know, just going to Netflix or going straight to DVD, or your movie just posts on BET. But it's like, you know, idiot, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have anything. So at least this is allowing us the opportunity, right? So at least this is allowing us the opportunity to present it to you all. And if you all are really serious like that, I'm talking about the fans, that is, or the audience, if you all are really serious like that, where you want to see more black actors featured on major network television, or if you want to see us more on the big screen, then it's your duty as the audience to email in or write in or petition or whatever the case may be, or when the products come out, support them in record numbers. That way they pay attention. Other than that, you're just preaching to the choir, or you're just blowing a lot of hot air. So what I do want to tell people is, please continue to support these products and these films that come out, whether they come out through Netflix, whether they come out through Redbox, whether you see shorts that come on the internet or shows that come out on the internet, man, support these projects, because through your support, you never know. That may be the one show that a network looks at and says, hey, man, these guys have 60 million viewers weekly. What are we doing not putting this on TV? There's an audience that wants this. And then before you know it, then we're on TV again. But if they can't see, if Hollywood can't see the numbers adding up, if the receipts don't add up when it comes to black cinema or when it comes to subjects dealing with our people directly or minorities directly, then it won't get done. So it's a two-way street. We have to do what we have to do as the performers to continue to present good quality product that everybody can relate to. But at the same time, it's up to our audiences and our fan bases to rally around us and get behind us and support it, so that when we go into these meetings in Hollywood, we can honestly say, no, you really need to greenlight the script and take it, because my fan base or the demographic or the numbers say this. And then once you show them that, then you have it popping. Then it's a different story. But if we don't do that, then we're only going to get those hand-picked actors every once in a while. Like, I'm very proud to say that we have great actors like Denzel Washington. Very proud to say we have our Will Smiths. We have our Don Cheadle. We have our Angela Bassett. We have our, you know, all of these great actors, Samuel Jackson, all these people. But that's just a handful. There's so much more talent out here that needs to be presented or needs to be exposed, and it's not getting that because there's just a level of support that's lacking. I'm not going to say that it's not there. It's just currently, like, lacking in the grand scheme of things.
Well,
or
I'll
a large
say it for
number.
You, my brother. I'll say it for you. You know, I think that it's not there. You know, I the reason why I wanted to ask that question is because I get into those arguments myself with some friends of mine, like, oh man, they just dropped a movie. I heard, damn, you never know when a nigga dropped a movie, and just straight go to Netflix. And I'm telling them, I'm like, well, you really need to study the pattern of where you're going to be watching television anyway, brother. Like, you
might
see Apple has now had the Apple TV, it's coming on your laptop. Netflix has awesome movies on it. Everybody stands in front of the red box. There's no more blockbuster videos like it usually be. So you have to say, if you want to see those, like you just so eloquently told, you know, the audience, you have to support it. You can't say because it just came to Netflix that you're not going to give it a chance. And I think it's happening in the music business. I think it's happening in television where, you know, another guy told me the other day, I actually have a production team. We produce music for, like, you know, Sci High the Prince, Mr. Fab, Votto, different people like that. And a lot of them have been mixtape placements. So my homeboy was like, you know, all these rappers doing mixtapes, all these, producers getting these mixtape placements, only certain ones get on the albums. And I'm like, bro, it all comes down to numbers. If you support that guy's mixtape, and we continue to get production on our on people's mixtapes, then we're going to make an album with somebody one day. But you can't dismiss it because you think it's not on the big screen or on the big scale like you were saying.
Exactly. No, and in case in point, it's like with the film that I produced, He's Mine, Not Yours. That film has been out since, maybe January or February of this year. And I will honestly say the support that we've gotten from it, even through Netflix and Redbox, has just been phenomenal prior to it even going or being sold to BET. So, you know, I do want to say that the film from the very beginning, there's been an audience there that's been supporting it. But, you know, I will get people who had just seen it on BET, and they'll tweet me and they'll go, you know what, I feel so stupid, like, I sat down, I looked at this movie, I know that it was out there, I just didn't go to Netflix and check it out, but I just so happened to be at home, I was looking at BET, didn't have anything better else to do, and I caught this film, and it's a great film, man, like, damn, like, thanks for producing something like that, and I'm, you know, at the same time, I'm thankful and express gratitude, you know, at the same time, I'm shaking my head like, yo, we got to get out of that mindset of, like, yo, if it's not on the big screen right off, you know, then it must be whack or there must be something wrong with it. Like, I'm pretty sure, you know, Sean Penn could do a straight-to-DVD movie or Robert De Niro could do a straight-to-DVD movie, and nobody would say that, you know what I'm saying? Or anybody else, like mainstream, that is, in Hollywood. Somebody else could do it, it won't be that big of a deal. But when it comes to our own projects, we won't give ourselves the benefit of the doubt and take that leap of faith and step out and support it until we just so happen to see it on TV and then we like, oh, damn. But, you know, by that time, you know, the film has already been out for a certain number of months. And then, when the studios look back, when you're trying to pitch something else, and you're like, okay, well, I have this, and this. They're like, okay, well, we checked the numbers on Netflix for the last film that you did, and they were impressive numbers where they could have been bigger. Why weren't they bigger?
Right.
And then you'll go, well, right. You know, the audience just caught on to it. But if you look on BET, and, you know, they'll reluctantly give you the money. They'll green light it. But the point is that you have to sell, like, even harder because they're just looking at the numbers. So I said all that to say this. For all of you all who are out there listening, you know, to this interview, like, man, please, like, you know, support us. Like, we won't be able to continue on doing what we're doing if we don't have the support of our community and the support of our audience that's out there that honestly does want to see us. Like, you guys really have to put forth the effort and the time, you know what I'm saying, and the money, I got to say, to get out there and to support the movies. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home. So I'm pretty sure once these studios and networks begin to see more of that, you will see more of us back on mainstream television or back on the big screen and that kind of thing. Because, you know, even the last major studio film that I did, which was Lottery Ticket, you know, that did really, really good. But at the same time, like, if there's not a constant influx of that kind of content coming through the door, then we're only getting movies like that on the big screen every 1 to 2 years. And that's whack. Now, we got a new one coming out, Sparkle. Right. You know, which is coming out in August, which I hope everybody goes and supports. But it shouldn't be a thing where we're only having those kind of movies come out on the big screen and from studios every 1 or 2 years. It's ridiculous.
No.
So that's
just
my personal opinion, you know.
No, and I'm glad you shared that with the audience and with us, because it's the correct opinion. It's absolutely facts that you're letting us know. And I think everybody needed to know that. You know, some people, you know, they need a reminder sometimes. Like, you know what? You know, you get complacent and you forget the hard work that's going in out there and how hard it is for, you know, the minorities to even land these roles and be able to direct things themselves. So thank you for saying that. You know, we really appreciate you, you know, letting us know how hard it is out there and that the numbers do count. Because sometimes, like I said, you just need a reminder that you need to support these people if you want to continue seeing them. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem. And I'll say this, and then I'm going to leave off of it, because it's actually something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm glad that you all have presented this platform or this forum to allow me to talk and expand upon it. But it's like in 2008, right, when the country was just in complete disarray. And not to say that it's, you know, it's perfect right now. It's still building. It's still recovering. But when the people wanted change, they went out and they voted for it. And they showed up in numbers. The numbers matter. Now, where we made the mistake was, after we got Obama in office, the next series of voting that we all needed to do to where our votes could count in the House of Representatives and all that, we didn't show up at the polls. We became complacent. Now, there's been a significant amount of change, and I will credit President Obama to that, and I love him to death for that. But there's still a certain amount of change that he couldn't even be able to really implement because the Dems didn't have control of the House. So if you want change, you have to really go out there, show up in record numbers, and remain consistent with it. And that's in all aspects of life, whether it has to do with the entertainment industry, political, whatever, just in life in general. If you want change, you have to be persistent, and you can't ever get comfortable or complacent. And the numbers have to show, especially when it comes to this entertainment game. So that's all I had to say about it. Like, I just wanted to, because I thought it was such a great question and something that needs to be shared, I think, with our people and with the audience out there that tunes in the Global 14, because you all do have a strong and huge following and audience. I think it's very important that people understand that. So thank you for presenting that question, because that shit is real.
No, that's no doubt. And, you know, it's just so glad to have a real brother on here like yourself to answer that question, because it's very important on all aspects. Like you just said, man, the voting thing, you couldn't have been more accurate, man. I remember when I was out there voting in the primaries, and I was literally looking around me and was like, we're going to lose this shit. Because blacks were nowhere to be found. And I was like, yo, bro, do you think this shit doesn't count? And it's really because of the lack of education that you have on the our system that you don't know that he needs this branch of government to pass anything through. And when they let all those new Tea Partiers and all those different people come through, and then it's like, well, why doesn't he just do it? Like, it doesn't work like that. And if you don't know how it works, you need to study and read on how it works. And that goes the same for acting. That goes the same for, you know, supporting our actors, supporting the music business. I just got into an interesting discussion about urban music and pop music. And it was just like that same thing. It's like these numbers are crumbling like crazy. But then you get a girl like Adele, who has a beautiful singing voice, don't get me wrong, but you can't tell me that there's no big-boned African-American woman coming out the church that could sing her under the table. She's somewhere out there, but yet our artists have to be damn near half-naked and do splits on the stage and turn around in six-inch heels and all types of shit to just sell a million while she sits in a chair with a skirt down to her ankles. They sing it and damn near sells 10 million, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that goes down to, once again, the support that comes from the community. And mind you, I know a lot of people's current situations, you know, a lot of people are out here having a hard time, you know, they're struggling day in and day out just to make ends meet, to keep a roof over their heads, you know, things like that. And a lot of people don't have the extra money, you know, to go out and to buy a whole album or to download a whole album, you know what I'm saying, actually paying it. But what I would encourage people to do, especially when it comes to black music, when it comes to art music, like, yo, man, support it. Like, even if you just buy a single, like the 99-cent download, like, you know, do that, because little do you know, that time that you think you're getting away with something by not supporting this particular artist, all it's doing is making it harder for the next artist that could come through that same system who should honestly get a legitimate shot, you know, and taking a swing at the plate. It's making it harder for them, you know what I'm saying, to get their shine or to get in their position, because the record labels are just looking at it like, all right, well, why am I going to invest all of this money into this rap artist? Yeah, I know his mixtapes are popping, but why am I going to invest all of this money into this artist when I could just give this money over to Katy Perry, whose audience I know is going to go out and buy the shit and go to the concert and buy the merchandise? Why am I going to put so much money into this kid when I could just put it into this pop act? And, you know, and it's not, and I don't mean to turn it into a racial thing or anything like that, because it's not. But
not at all.
When it comes to black music, you know, that's ours. And that's something that we should take pride in. Before you download, you know, the pop artist music, download, you know what I'm saying, that record that came out from that R&B artist or that rap artist, and give them your money before you go out and you spend X amount of dollars on the pop artist who really doesn't need it at the end of the day. And I think people will be able to see kind of a turnaround and a shift even when it comes to the music industry. And, you know, I encourage the music artists out there as well, because, you know, I'm also involved in the music industry. So, you know, I would encourage those people out there that are aspiring to do, you know, their thing and make money in it. Listen, man, continue to go independent. Establish your audience. Establish your PayPal accounts or your iTunes accounts where all of that money can come to you directly. You know what I'm saying? Build upon your audience. Even leap outside of your own comfort zone. Expand and reach out to the DJs that are international and do your thing, because in a second, I don't think record companies are going to be there anymore, but the art will still exist.
Right.
But artists nowadays really have to take more initiative and take more time to connect with their audience and step outside of their comfort zones and do the necessary legwork and hard work that it takes if you want to be an international superstar. Like, you don't necessarily have to run to a major label to get that shine that you that you're craving. If you're smart about it and if you have a clear-cut game plan, you know, by which you can go down. And if on top of all of that, the product in itself is extraordinary and exceptional, man, you can make anything happen. I mean, just look at Master P. And Master P was doing that in Cash Money.
Mm-hmm.
Them boys was doing that way before any kind of digital age took
mm-hmm.
off, way before any
right.
kind of internet.
Right.
Like, these guys were selling hand-to-hand. So it
yeah.
is possible, and I encourage all those artists out there, especially black artists, you know, who are talented and doing anything, man, go hard, go on your own, be smart about what it is that you're doing. Now, I'm not saying turn down a great deal if one is presented to you from a major label, but keep in mind, like,
right.
it should be a partnership. And
mm-hmm.
even in that partnership, you should receive the lion's share of it because it's your soul, your essence, and your product going out there. And we have to get in a mind frame now of taking more ownership into our music and into our creativity, which reverts back to what I was saying even earlier about Netflix and all of that. We're, you know, it may seem small right now to a lot of people, but we're taking ownership in our product. You know what I mean? And that's what counts at the end of the day. So I just wanted
yeah, that,
to put that out there. We can move on to another subject because I get very passionate
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You
know what?
You know.
We're going to end that right there. And I just wanted to say, thank you for answering that question the way you did. I didn't want it to seem as if I was posing it to the audience out there as a racial thing. I love Adele as an artist,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't trying to put, you know, black and white. I was just trying to preface that with
right.
the support and why it's so hard and why we have to be so extraordinary to really get those opportunity and sales as somebody that is probably, you know, the same vocally, but their groundswell, their support is much more consistent and rabid.
Absolutely.
That the push behind that artist is way more easier, and they're going to give her the budget she needs. They're mm-hmm. going to give those artists the money that they need, and our people might not get that because we're not supporting it as much. So I'm glad you
exactly.
said, you know, it's not a racial thing. We didn't want it to
no,
sound
not at
that
all.
Way.
No,
so
no.
Yeah.
And it
didn't come across like that to
no,
me. I mean, I think, you know, when we
okay,
when we
cool.
have these opportunities like this where we can speak
mm-hmm.
openly and honestly about it, you know, people need to be told the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. And, you know, as quick as the
right.
audience and people out there are quick to dish out the bullshit, And to sit up and be so judgmental and so critical, I mean, the finger has to be pointed back sometimes to let them know as well, like, well, nah, this is a two-way street. As much as you're looking at what it is that I'm doing, like, you need to look
mm-hmm.
at yourself as well because we all need each other. It's like what 3000 said on Elevated. If you don't move your feet, then I don't eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, if
okay.
you don't go out and support what it is that we're doing, then we won't have nothing. So, you know, it's just a full circle. But I really appreciate you all bringing that up. And hopefully, you know, we did provide some enlightenment to people out there, you
oh,
know,
no
who,
doubt.
Who may have been misinformed or ignorant to the fact of what
mm-hmm.
really goes on out here in the entertainment industry as a whole.
Each one teach one, man. That's what we do every Wednesday. We try to, you know, bring some education to the audience, you know, and drop a few tools. But you know what we also like to get into? Me and Onyx,
mm-hmm.
we check out the music news, the celebrity news. And if you don't got nothing to do, I know you're a busy man, but if you don't got nothing to do and you want to chime in on a few of these pop culture news stories that we're about to talk about a little bit, we'd love to have you. If you got to go, we understand, but maybe you can just hang around for a few.
And actually,
what were you?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You
what
have
you
a
say?
Fan that's been waiting this entire interview to speak with you, and I wanted to bring her on real quick before
no,
we transition
yeah,
off.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
No,
oh,
no,
no
problem.
Problem.
This is Erica. Erica, thank you so much for holding you live with G4T Radio Cut.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Erica? Hello? How you doing? Hello?
I'm doing good. Hello, I'm
doing
good.
You doing good?
Yeah, I'm good. Really excited. I'm kind of nervous because it's like I can't believe I'm talking to you. I like grew up like in the 80s, you know, watching you and all your shows and Michael Jackson, who's loving you. And I just can't believe I'm talking. I'm just so excited. You're like the greatest.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, I'm excited to talk to you as well. How you doing? Where are you located?
I'm in the Inland Empire, California.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
where that's
at.
Where that. No, I know exactly where that's at. I know where the I is.
Cali.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big, you know, I'll be on YouTube a lot, and I always be bumping that song you had with what is it called, Only One Call Away. Joint was popping. I just want to tell you that. When I came out,
you.
I was like, oh, my God, because I didn't know you were in that. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Jason Weaver in it. I was just so excited. I've been following you. I've been following him. I'm 36. I'm old school. You know, I'm not like the young cat. So I like the old school stuff. So.
Hey, it's all good. Well, hopefully,
hopefully you
like the new music that I'm coming out with. I will be posting some stuff within the next couple of months of different records that I've been doing. That's really, really, really dope. I got a record out. I don't know if you heard earlier, but I got the record out with Game to like the Amen freestyle that he did on his mixtape. I also have one other song too that I'm gonna be posting. I'm waiting for it to get mixed right now, but I'll have more information about that later, and I'll make sure that, you know, we get back on Global Forte, we talk about that, and, you know, I post it on Twitter and everything. But I really appreciate you, you know, supporting my career and supporting everything that I've been doing. It really means a lot to me. Thank you, Erica.
Yeah. I just want to ask real quick, I know you guys are kind of talking about it, but what do you think, like, with, you know, this new age, you know, the teenagers and stuff, like, they buy all the records and they download all the stuff and, you know, more teenagers than, like, older adults. What do you think, like, we need to do? Because the young generation, like, they're seeing the, you know, the sex and the drugs and the fighting and all that going on. Like, what can we do, or, you know, even people that are not celebrities, to kind of show a more positive role model for these kids coming up? You know, they're having babies and doing all this, and they're seeing people fighting on reality shows, and it becomes their reality where it's almost like they see that as, because if they're in a house where mom and dad are doing that, they shouldn't have to go on YouTube and see the same thing they're seeing in their community. They should be able to go on TV and say, wow, this is what I want my family to be like. This is what I want my future to be. I don't want to be like what my cousins and stuff are. So how can we have more positive images for these kids to see that, you know, so we can better our community?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, just my personal opinion, I think that in spite of what some celebrities or people that are in the public eye, but in spite of what they think, I think that we do have a responsibility to present content and to present images and even ourselves in a certain kind of light that's positive. Now, mind you, I know nobody's perfect, you know what I'm saying, and everybody makes mistakes and everything, and everybody does things in their lives that they may not necessarily be, you know, extremely proud of. But I think that if all of us, especially those who are really in the forefront, we really make a conscious effort, you know, to put ourselves out there in a positive light and instill, you know, positive messages, I think it can change. But the one thing that I'll also say is, too, is that you can't, like, you can't guard children from what they're going to see on the Internet. And I know this for a fact because I have an 11-year-old. It's not like you can keep them completely sheltered, but the one advice that I would give to parents, though, and I'm speaking as a parent, like, yo, take responsibility for your household. Like, you know, watch your kids when they're going on the Internet, whether it's on their phone, you know what I'm saying, whether it's on their computer. You know, monitor the time that they even spend on the computer. Monitor the time that they spend on the cell phone. Like, you know, like even with my own son, like, because he's heavy into video games and all of that, and I think that that's brilliant that he knows how to navigate around a computer. But what good are you to the world if you can't communicate with people in a normal fashion? If you can't go outside of your home or your computer, you know, and be able to converse with people and instill wisdom as well as gain wisdom from people. So I think it's very important. I think half of the responsibility is based on the performers and the so-called celebrities, but the other half is based on the parents And if not the parents, whatever adult influence that's there that, you know, is overseeing the kids. And I think once you put those two things together and people make a legitimate effort to be involved, I think you will see a change in society as far as that's concerned. But, you know, at the same time, you get so many celebrities nowadays, and not talking bad about any of them, those who choose to go that route. But you have so many celebrities nowadays that all they care about is just making the money. And they're willing to scandalize themselves, and they're willing to exploit themselves in a way where they're damn near selling their souls, and they don't care what they got to do to get popping. They don't care what they got to do to get famous or to make a quick buck. They'll get butt naked on stage, you know what I'm saying? They'll do a sex tape. They'll do whatever it takes to get hot. You know, I think once you get the celebrities that get to a point where they just like, yo, man, I'm concerned about getting hot, but I'm not trying to get, you know, hot to the point where I got to sell my soul for it. I got to sell myself short. Right. I think when you get more performers that decide to take that kind of role, then you'll see a shift. You'll see a definite shift.
Okay. Wow, I'm just so happy.
That's a good question, though, Erica. Thank you.
I wish you much success in your future, and I'm going to check out some of your music and some of the movies on you say you have some movies with LaToya Tuckett. I didn't know about that one, so I might try to check that out.
Yeah, check out Dysfunctional Friends, because that's out, and
okay.
That has, like, a
okay.
great ensemble cast attached to it. The film that I produced, He's Mine, Not Yours, that I starred in, that's also at Netflix, but it also comes on BET all the time. And then I got a new one that my man Christian Key stars in, and that he also wrote called Note to Self, and that's out on Netflix as well. So please, like, support it, and, you know, anything that you see any of us in, you know, I'm not just speaking for myself, but, you know, for all of us out here that are trying to put out good quality work, you know, please continue to support us, and we would greatly appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Erica, for your call and comment. That was an amazing question. And again, thank you so much, Jason. You hang with us the entire time. We love you here tonight. We're so excited and thrilled to have you on. Golden, you still on the line? I know you said you had a news topic or two. Yes, I can.
Hello? And you know what, too, y'all? My bad. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm sitting here. And it's like, it's 6:45 here in L.A., and I still got to help my little boy with his homework, and he's sitting here waiting on me. So I don't mean to be rude, but I gotta sit down with him because he just started back in school yesterday. So we're trying to get on a good track and make sure
That's
we got
right.
all our stuff together. But what I do want to tell
do
you
your
all
family
is,
thing,
honey,
man, do your family thing. We appreciate all the time, man.
Oh, no, and I want to tell y'all, I appreciate y'all. And honestly, Goldie, make sure that y'all DM me, you know what I'm saying, once y'all get off today so that we can stay in contact, because there's so many things that we could do together, so many different ways that we can help one another. And anything that you guys need from me, like, please let me know. I'll give you my direct contact information. And for those, all of you out there that are listening, if you're interested in getting at me, like leaving comments with me or just hollering at me, I'm really active on Twitter. You can reach me at It's Jason Weaver. So please, like, check me out on there. You can go to my website, which is jasonweaveronline.com. I'm also on Facebook and all of that, but please make sure that you you check me out on Twitter at It's Jason Weaver, because I'm going to be updating everyone as far as other projects that I have coming out. I'm also going to be downloading content or uploading content of different shorts that I've shot and stuff like that, as well as keeping you guys posted as far as the Ustreams that I'm going to be doing again probably within the next week or so. So I just wanted to thank everybody for their support. I want to thank you guys over at Global 14 for supporting me. God bless all of y'all, and we'll definitely talk really soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, thank you guys.
Most
have
definitely,
a good evening.
Big homie.
You too.
You too. Take care, man.
He was great. He was absolutely great. I'm definitely excited.
Awesome
appreciate
dude.
It.
Awesome dude.
Yes, he was. Definitely was excited to have him on tonight. News topics I know we only don't have too much longer, but if you wanted to chop it up and do a couple of topics, we can definitely do that.
Talk about real quick and laugh at, but maybe one or two. But I wanted to just to take on that whole Trey Songz and Neo thing. I don't know if you heard about it or you read about it, but Neo was doing an interview, and he said that when he was asked about Trey, he said that, you know, Trey could be really the shit, but he suffered from a lack of passion in his music.
Who said this?
What do you think about that? To me, y'all have said he wasn't, they say he wasn't hating. He wasn't trying to hate. But when they asked him this question, if you tell somebody in the media, especially, you know, this day and age, something like that, Trey Songz, he came back and said, listen, that's my homie, or supposed to be my homie. So if he thought something that he could have helped me on, regarding the music and what I'm doing, he could have told me that privately. He didn't have to say that in the public. And being that he said it in the public, I think he hates me, and I'm going to just keep doing my thing. Do you think he was hating on Trey?
Who is this? Because it kind of breaks down. Now, who said this? Because I didn't hear the story. Who has
Neo.
Said this now? Neo?
Neo. Neo
wow.
said this about Trey Songz that, you know, he needs to, you know,
wow.
get more passion in his music. Basically,
yeah,
more
why would he do that? Why would he, I mean, was he asked about him, or was this just something that just, I mean, how did this even begin for him to have the platform to say, you know, when I have the platform, but.
Basically, I guess they were asking about different singers. And when it got to Trey Songz, if I'm not mistaken, he prefaced it with, he can be even bigger than he is, but I think that his music is lacking passion. And if he implements that element, he'd be even bigger than he was. Trey kind of felt that,
he was awesome.
Cool.
He,
like,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Why are you saying that to, you know, these
right.
outlets so they
right.
can run with it like that? You know, you mm-hmm. when you know that's what goes on.
Right.
So, what do you think? Do you think it was constructive criticism and that Neo was okay to say that, or you mm-hmm. think he was hating on the dude?
Wow, I hate this because I like them both. I enjoy their music and them as entertainers. It's kind of, I kind of hate this now real quick because I want to say it was constructive, but then if Trey's saying that they speak on a, he's saying basically like they have a business relationship or, you know, whatever, that they speak enough to where he could have said, hey, you know, I'm enjoying what you're doing and what you got going on. Have you ever tried doing it this way? You know what I mean? I don't know, Neo. I'm not kind of digging that right there. You know, I mean, because he's smart and he knows what it is. So I don't know if I'm happy with him for doing that. You know, it's just me. I don't know.
I kind of felt that if you are cool with somebody, and I think we kind of touched on this a few weeks ago with the whole.
Oh yeah, we
Tricky
did.
Thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, Tony Ayo and Lloyd Banks and anybody else that, you know, it's cool with each other when you know how these stories run rampant and you know
right.
how they're waiting for that shit. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You mm-hmm. can't give them that food like
no,
that.
You can't.
Because,
no.
Like Trey said, you could have just hollered at me, homie, and it could have been all good. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, I respect you as an artist. I know we have a decent relationship. We cool. And I love your music, so if there's something that you think I should implement and your intention is to assist and help,
right.
holler at me about that. You
right.
And don't go on the interview saying that. So.
Right. And he didn't even put it in a way where he was like, you know, he has awesome potential to be something greater, you know, whatever the words what he used. But he could have said it in a way to where he gave that advice. And then that was it. But to say he lacks this or he lacks that, I'm not feeling that a little bit. So I'm kind of disappointed, and I hadn't heard of that, so thank you. I'm glad we talked about this because I didn't know. Now I'm disappointed, Neo.
Oh,
No doubt. It's all good.
So, Neo, you know, right now on the cut, we're going to have to give you a... We don't know about that one, brother. You know, there's been a few more things, but we are running short of time because it was such a great interview with the one
amazing.
And only Jason Weaver. So
amazing.
Let's just hold off on a few topics and, you know, end this thing off right.
Okay.
So we can go out and do our thing.
Okay, that's right. You know, we wear many hats here on the cut and also we like to, if you say something and I get passionate, I'm be having to talk, and, you know, we don't have the time for it. But I do want to thank everybody that tuned in with us tonight. We have a wonderful time here every Wednesday night, like I said, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern. Shout-out to Jason Weaver for coming through. Shout-out to I Love March, the production group, and King Edward for hooking everything up and helping me get this lined up with us tonight, helping us get this lined up. And also, again, Global14.com, that is the network that is via this radio station, so I'm going to need you to go over there, check it out. Again, Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Follow the Twitters at Global14 and at G14 Radio. You can find me at Onyx254. Pass the mic to my co-host.
You can find me at THAGLUE, the glue. Make sure you hop on Global14.com. Man, we're talking about everything on that piece. The General Jermaine Dupri just recently been posting up some of the baddest women that you ever want to see, men, and the ladies are posting up the men. That's they doing their thing. So, you
that's
know,
right.
Shout out to the women's lifers posting up the dudes with abs and all that stuff.
That's right.
But it's a great time on that site. Everybody needs to check it out. And we hollering back every Wednesday talking about the, you know, your best topics in hip hop, pop, R&B. Dropping jewels just like Jason Weaver came on and did today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we do it every Wednesday. You already know.
Go down. And shout out to Erica also for her phone call. She's a lifer. She's on Club14.com. Holla at her as well. And I think that we better
that
wrap
was
it up.
Question. Excellent
oh, it was.
Question that
yeah.
Erica came
it
with.
Was.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of crazy stuff being seen by the kids. So
it
shout
was.
Out to Erica for hollering at us and calling in. Lifer.
Yeah. Okay, G-Force up in this thing, getting a vibe. again, thank you everybody that tuned in. Joining us next Wednesday, going down. Holla.
John Main, 35 Riders.
That's why I look. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I look. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from blessing. Now I'm shining. I'm nothing. Life is good. Why I look.
I look so hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Main, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas. I in the world wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept a blessing. Now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing.
Why? Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Main's world, where every day's Friday. Menage with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause I'm a ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why. I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm signing. Nothing like it's nothing, that's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why.
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle, hustle, hustle.